If you're glad you're saved, can you say amen?
Amen.
Praise the Lord. I'm glad to be in the house of the Lord this morning. I'm glad to be in my right mind this morning. Because it could be a whole lot different, amen? Things could be so much different. I appreciate all of our folks here in the church, so many in the medical field, fire and rescue. I could go on and on, but several work in those kind of fields here in the church, and I want to thank you for all that you do for our community, for our church, and the things that you offer here. You're overlooked a lot of times, but I want you to know that we appreciate all your hard work and dedication to that field. It's a field that I don't know anything about. And we've had incidents here at the church, and I'm glad for a team that'll step up and take action as soon as it's needed. Amen. Amen. We recognize a lot of people, a lot of things, and preachers and singers and all these things, but I think a lot of our folks in these fields are overlooked a lot of times, and I don't want to do that here in the church and tell you how much I appreciate it. But I want to tell you today, we got folks hurting in this building today. There's been a lot going on this week in a lot of people's lives, physically, spiritually, emotionally. Different things are going on in your life, and I believe that God has given me a message this morning to help you with what's going on in your life. And if you'll pray for just a few moments of time, I want to bring you a thought that the Lord gave me this week and preach to you just a little bit over in Acts chapter 16. Is where the Lord is taking me once again. Lord, let it be done one more time. Speak to us one more time, Lord. That's what I want. In Acts chapter 16. A very familiar scripture that a lot of us know, and we've heard this message many times, but I don't know if you've heard it the way the Lord has give it to me this morning. I hope I can give it to you the way he give it to me, and I can help you with it today. God has blessed us this week and allowed us to live another year and get another year older, and we praise the Lord for that. But I thought about last night as I was looking through some old pictures and reminiscing about my life and what we've done down through the years, and from my childhood all the way to now, Ravonda has a big old tote down there full of pictures, and so I just started going through pictures and looking at pictures and thinking about all the places that we had been for the Lord and what God had done and how our hearts were filled with such ambition to do things for God and go places and see things. And here we are in this part of our life, and we know that we've got more days behind us than we got before us. But God is good, amen? He's been good through it all. And I got to celebrate most of all my 40th year of knowing the Lord. I came to know the Lord on my birthday, February the 1st in 1980, and I praise the Lord for that I came to know him as my personal Savior. I've never regretted it one time. Now listen to me this morning. I've never regretted a mile I've ever traveled for the Lord. It's been the hardest, easiest road I've ever traveled. And it's been hard because the times I've done it my way and done what I thought should be done. A boy got easy when I followed the Lord's way. Can I get an amen? And it'll be the same for you. Let's stand for the reading of God's word this morning here in Acts chapter 16, breaking in at the 16th verse. And it came to pass as we went to prayer, a certain damsel with a spirit of divinations met us, which brought her masters much gain by soothsaying. The same followed Paul and us and cried, saying, "These men are the servants of the Most High God, which show unto us the way of salvation." And you think that would be wonderful for somebody to be proclaiming this and doing this. "And this did she many days, but Paul, being grieved, turned and said unto the Spirit, I command thee in the name of Jesus Christ to come out of her. And it came out of her the same hour. You better be careful when the man of God gets grieved. I'm telling you today, you don't want the man of God grieved in his spirit. And when her master saw that the hope of their gain were gone, they caught Paul and Silas and drew them into the marketplace unto the rulers and brought them to the magistrates, saying, "These men, being Jews, do exceedingly trouble our city and teach customs which is not lawful to receive, neither to be observed, being Romans." And the multitude rose up together against them. The magistrates rent off their clothes and commanded to beat them. And when they had laid many stripes upon them, they cast them into prison, charging the jailer to keep them safe, who, having received such a charge, thrust them into the inner prison and made their feet fast in stocks. Brother Terry, ask the blessing, please. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Help us, God.
That we not reject it, that we not push back, but dear Heavenly Father, we accept it with an open heart. We ask that you would have your way in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. You can be seated. Here we see in this chapter Paul and Silas in prison for the ministry of the gospel. And God's great hand of deliverance is going to deliver them through their obedience to serve him no matter what, no matter what's come against them. I asked the Lord this week, I've been working on this message, this thought, been praying about it and thinking about it now for probably almost a year. And finally God said this week he would allow me to preach it and finally put it all together. And my simple way this morning, I want to preach on chain breaker. I want to preach on chain breaker, if I can this morning, with the help of the Lord. I'm so full up, I don't know what I'm going to do this morning. I appreciate the Word of God and what it means to me in my life. He's good to us this morning, ain't he? I want to take my time and preach to you what God has given me and try to help you understand what thus saith the Word of God. I'm going to use one of my faithful helpers I use all the time, Bryson. I want him to come up here this morning, and I'm not going to stand him up. I ain't making fun of you, brother. I love my brother. He always helps me and always works with me during my messages, and he loves the Lord. I've seen God do some great things in his life. He's got some great things for him. Train up your children in the ways of the Lord, I'm telling you. You'll be glad that you did. When they get old, they won't depart from it. They'll remember how they've been taught. Now, some of them may go astray, but they'll always remember where they come from. Amen? And God will use them in a mighty way. But you just sit right there for me, okay? But thinking about this message and what God has for us this morning, you're going to have to know some things that the devil is trying to do in your life. He's wanting to discourage you and I. He's wanting to put binds and chains on you and I. And I actually brought some this morning to show an illustration of what the devil can do to you. And he's my illustration. And I'm not going to beat him with this chain, but I'm going to tell you what the devil wants to do. This young man right here loves the Lord. And he's got a great desire to live for God and honor God. But you know what the devil wants to do? The devil wants to start chaining him up. And he'll start chaining him up with the things of life. We're going to start with this one right now. Just exactly what you and I go through, the first thing the devil wants to do to you and I, he wants to tell lies on us, and he wants to falsely accuse us. He's a liar and the father of it. And just because you're born again doesn't mean the devil won't put chains upon your life. When we let down the guard and stop praying and stop reading God's word and living for God, the chain maker, the one that brings the chain out of hell, will come and try to wrap you up with it. He'll start putting it in your life. If you'll look at verses 20 and 21 with me, the Bible says, "And they brought them to the magistrate, saying, These men, being Jews, do exceedingly trouble our city and teach customs which are not lawful for us to receive, neither to observe, being Romans." And they were teaching these things, talking about the word of God, preaching the word of God, and it was stirring the people up. And the Romans didn't like it. They were lord over the people. They had it all set up just the way they wanted it. They didn't want anybody disrupting what they had going on. And here comes the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Here's the Paul and Silas preaching about Jesus and how good he is and what he can do for your life and how he can touch your life and deliver your life and bring you out of sin. Here they are standing for the Lord. And people starts lying and falsely accusing him. Has that ever happened to you? Did that get you down when somebody lied on you? Absolutely, it gets you down. I don't know about anybody in here likes to be lied on. Does anybody like to be lied on? I don't like to be lied on. I want the truth to be told about me. I'd rather be told that I do stand on the word of God. I'm not a compromiser. I'm not a sugarcoater. I preach the infallible word of God. I want to tell people they're going to a real hell if they don't get right with God. And also tell people that have been born again that they're going to a real heaven and that they don't have to worry about hell. They need to get right with God so their life can be secure in the Lord. Can I get an amen this morning? But the devil is a liar and the father of it. Over in 1 Peter 3:16, the Bible says, having a good conscience. This is the lesson that we learn by the devil telling lies on us. Having a good conscience. That whereas they speak evil of you, as of evildoers, and they may be ashamed that falsely accuse you and your good conversation in the Lord. That they should be ashamed of that. You should walk so close to God that when people tell a lie on you, that it'll come back on them and they'll be ashamed that they even said anything against you. I would want to live a life so close to the Lord and walk so close to Him that no matter what people say, that other people know that your life does not reflect that the lie that the devil has told. But you know what we do a lot of times? We get into our self-pity and we hear about the lies that's been told. And the devil comes along and he keeps on laying on the chains. And you keep believing the lies that the devil's doing and keeps putting the weight upon you and putting the chains upon you. And it starts bringing your life down. But I want you to know in Luke 6:27, but I say unto you which hear, love your enemies, do good to them that hate you. You need to pray for them that despitefully use you and say all manners of evil against you. You pray for those people. Ask God to help them and show them the arrows of the other ways. Show the love of Christ. And we see here that Paul and Silas, it doesn't say a thing that they said during this time. They dragged them out into the street in front of everybody and said, these men teach customs and are doing things that we don't like and we're not going to have this. And the magistrates got so mad that they went against their customs that the Bible says that they rent their clothes. It was a way of rejection, of believing it was sin and rejection of their culture. And they ripped their clothes because of it. And the Bible says they began to beat them because of the cause of Christ. Are you going to go through things in this life? You better believe it. We'll suffer for the cause of Christ. We'll always not be able to wear the best suit we've got, the best clothes we've got, and sit in nice padded pews and heated buildings and air-conditioned buildings and be able to worship and do things like that. But there's going to come a time where you're going to be put to the test and the devil's going to put the chains upon your life. What are you going to do when you have to stand? Are you going to fall under the weight of the pressure? Are you going to cower down? I'm glad that Paul and Silas stood up. When they drug them out in the street, it don't say they were kicking and screaming and begging and pleading. The Bible says that they, many stripes were put up on them, and they were cast into prison. And we can see through the lies and the false accusations what can happen sometimes to our life. Things will happen to us that you have no control of. You let the devil do things and you let these things come upon you. But you keep your eyes upon the Lord. Keep your focus upon the Lord. And I promise you, the King of Kings and Lord of Lords knows everything that you're going through. And he said he'd make a way of escape for you if you'll trust him. Amen. He loves you this morning, and he'll make a way even when the devil is trying to chain you down. When people lie on you and falsely accuse you, over in Luke 6:28, bless them that curse you and pray for them which do spitefully use you. I'd write that down in my Bible and circle it and be asking the Lord to help me understand that. You need to pray for people that do stuff like that to you. It's not fun, and it's not an enjoyment time when people do that. When you're trying to do the best for the Lord, the devil will come and put some chains upon your life. What are you going to do when this happens? Are you going to be able to stand? Our problem is we've never got off the milk as Christians. We're still on the bottle. We're feeding off the bottle. But I'm telling you, Christians that are here today, we need to get in the Word of God. We need to dig in this Word. We need to find out what it says. Because every single day, the devil is an accuser of the brethren. He's coming to put chains on you and I. He's come to steal, to kill, and destroy your life if you'll let him do it. He'd love to snuff you out. I said this morning, he'd love to snuff you out. He'd love to snuff your children out, your wife out, your husband out, your brothers and sisters, your pastor. He'd love to destroy this place, is what the devil would love to do. You think he's enjoying what's going on here this morning? He loves it when these pews are empty. He loves it when you have those thoughts of other brothers and sisters and you don't like what they're doing. You don't like what they're saying. They're taking your position. They never asked you to teach. They never asked you to clean the bathrooms. Nobody asked me to pray. Nobody asked me to sing. That's the work of the devil. He's putting chains on your life. He's trying to work in the church. That's what he's trying to do. And just as you see this morning, putting chains upon our brother. If you don't watch the devil, he's sneaky. He likes to sneak right up on you and put this weight upon your life. Number two, we see through this, we can see pain and suffering coming to Paul and Silas. These men were men that loved God, preached the Word of God, stood for the Lord. What in the world is going on? Let me tell you what, I'd rather suffer for him here and reign with him there, amen, than to have the joy of this old world, never trust Jesus and die and go to hell. Let me tell you what, hell is full of good intentions this morning. Hell is full of people that said, you know what, I'll do it another day. I'll wait another time. I'll not do that right now. I know I need to be a witness to that person, but I'll call my pastor and let him do it. Not today. I won't be that person today. You know what the devil does? He starts laying more chains around your neck and putting more weight upon you because you won't witness for him. You won't do things for him, and he just keeps laying it on you and drawing you down and pulling you down through the pain and the suffering of this life. Look at verse 22 and 23. And the multitude rose up together against them. And the magistrates ripped their clothes and commanded to beat them. And when they had laid many stripes upon them, they cast them into the inner prison and charged the jailer to keep them safely. They charged the jailer. He had a job to do, and he was good at it. It didn't matter who these men were. You go out here and break the law, it won't make no difference if you're a member of Vickers Chapel. Go break the law, they'll lock you up just like they do everybody else. Wait a minute, I know Pastor Gary. I go down to Vickers, surely you'll overlook me. No, you'll have to pay the crime. You'll have to pay the time. One day after a while, we'll stand before a holy God. You think you went through some pain and suffering here, your whole life will be revealed on that day. And it'll be cast out on that day when now where everybody can see it. All that you've hid away from God and all that you've put in the past back here where everybody don't know it. And you may say the pastor don't know it and the Sunday school teachers don't know it. But I'm going to tell you one thing. You're serving a God. You know a God that knows your life. He was there when you committed it. He knows about the pain that's in your life. He knows about the suffering in your life. But that's no excuse for sin. Amen. The devil's got you weighed down with everything. You can't be a witness. You can't live for God. You can't do anything right. Why? You're chained down by the devil. Now, I'm telling you this morning, there's pain and suffering in this. But listen to this. In 2 Corinthians 4:17, the Bible says, "For our light afflictions, which is but for a moment, worketh for us more exceeding eternal weight of glory." This is just for a little while, and we're going to pass out of here into a place called heaven, amen, where there'll be no more suffering, there'll be no more pain. Nobody will be putting us down, lying upon us. We won't be going through this pain and suffering. We won't be going through things like Paul and Silas went through, being thrown in jail for the cause of Christ. I don't know a preacher here this morning that has had to go to the jailhouse for preaching the gospel. But brothers, you better hold on. That day's probably a coming when we have to stand and preach the word of God, and if they lock us up for it, we'll preach anyhow down at the jailhouse. Amen. I wonder how many of you come visit us. We ain't going down there. They may lock us up if they know that we're even associated with them. We need to stand together. Amen. 1 Corinthians 10:13, the Bible says, "There hath no temptation taken you, but such is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that ye are able, but will with the temptation make a way of escape." Listen to me this morning, that ye may be able to bear it this morning. No matter what comes your way, God will make a way out of these chains in your life. The problem is the reason you're chained down is you're listening more to the devil then you're listening to God. That's the problem this morning. God can ask me all day long to do something. I'd be like, "God, are you really sure? I'm waiting on the will of God. Lord, is that really what you want me to do? Brother, are you going to do that? I don't know. I'm waiting on God." You know what's happening? God's waiting on you this morning. He's done everything. He went to the cross of Calvary. He gave his life for you. Some of you sitting in here this morning need to be doing things in this church. You ain't done nothing yet. And you may say, "I'm waiting for God to tell me." Let me tell you what, God blessed this church 52 years ago, I guess it was, back in 52, to make a church here in this little valley. It's been here working for God, and people have been working for God, and God's filling the building up, and we need workers in the building, and you're sitting waiting on God. He's waiting on you this morning. Lord, it's getting quiet in here. A lot of y'all need to step up and make a commitment to this church. You need a home church. I'd get involved in this church. I'd get here where God's saving, God's moving, God's getting people baptized. People are getting close to the Lord. People are growing in God. The church is about to have to build on because we're getting so full. And I tell you, that ought to make you want to shout this morning. I want to be somewhere where God is moving, God's alive, God's working in a mighty way. But if you love the dead way of things, there's churches that way and churches this way. If you're not happy here and you'll be happy somewhere else, I'll hug your neck and send you on your way. But I'll tell you what, Vickers ain't for everybody, but it sure is for me. Are we the only ones going? Absolutely not. But while we're going through this pain and suffering in this life, we need to work together as a church and love one another as a church. And as we do this as a church, somebody sitting beside you are chained down by the devil just like that. I'm telling you this morning, Brother Rocky, you never know. Sister Velma may have a lot going on in her life like this right here, and she never told you, but she's sitting right beside of you. Now, Sister Velma probably ain't got none of this going on in her life, but you never know that the person sitting beside of you is probably carrying the whole world that you don't know nothing about. And we need to get involved in these people's lives. There's a lot of suffering and a lot of pain going on. But I'm telling you what, this morning, God wants to deliver some people. God wants to change some things in some people's life. But it'll never happen until you surrender it to God. Amen. Revelations 21, verse 4. He's going to do some delivering out of pain and suffering one day. Listen. And God, nobody else but God, shall wipe away all tears from their eyes. And there shall be no more death, neither sorrow, nor crying, no more pain, for the former things are passed away. All this pain and suffering one day is going to be passed away. It's going to be done away with. Here Paul and Silas was. They had been beaten. Now they're thrown into the inner prison. And I'm telling you what, if it had been me and Terry gotten put out in the street like that and beat half to death, I'd be whining to him like a little bitty baby of how bad it is. That's after he done had a pity fit. He'd lean on my shoulder and cry a while, and then I'd cry a while. We'd say, whoa, it's me, how bad it is. Can you believe we're down here in this prison after all we've done to preach the gospel? And we stood at Vickers and led those people and told them about Christ. And we saw that church growing. Here we are down here in this prison. That's the kind of men me and you are. But I'm going to tell you what kind of men these men were. It long about the midnight hour, Paul and Silas' wounds already starting to scab up a little bit. The blood had started flowing all like it was. And about the midnight hour, that Holy Spirit got on them real good. And Paul said, I think what we ought to do is just break out in a verse of song and praise God for what he's done. And the Bible says they begin to sing songs and praise the Lord. And all of a sudden, when you start singing and worshiping God, things will start happening. Can I give you this morning? When God sent me here over 2.5 years ago, I come into this building. First service, I've never told you all what I'm about to tell you. I've been on a 10-year desert journey seeking the will of God. I had been all over this country, back and forth, working in churches, helping people, helping pastors, doing different things, trying to be an encouragement. Now, them pastors never had a clue that I was walking in a valley. Some of them that I got close to knew where I was at. And I was in this deep, dark valley, chained up like this right here, trying to find the will of God. Miserable. I'd even told my wife, I said, you know what? I believe I'd have stayed at the house and we'll read the Bible and have church at the house. We could do better at the house than we can in some of these churches. That's the way I felt. Can I get an amen this morning? And there I was in my self-pity and my wallering and all that, trying to figure out the will of God. I'm working for a company, and I'm way up in West Virginia. Mark had called me about a week or two before that, and he said, I give your name out to a church. And I thought, oh, Lord, what'd you do that for? It's his fault. He said, I give your name out, and they may call you. And I said, that'll be fine. I know what my calling is. God opens the door up. I need to go preach. I was up in West Virginia driving an old van, heading to a service call. My phone rang, and I'm telling you, as I stand before the Lord this morning, my phone rang, and the Holy Spirit spoke to me and said, you better pay attention. It scared me so bad that I pulled off the road. Hello? There's that man right there. He says, is this Gary Adkins? I said, yes, it is. Depends on what you want to know. No, I didn't say that. He said, this is Brother Aaron from Vickers Chapel. We got your name from your brother-in-law, and we don't have a pastor right now, and I almost hung up right then. He said, we'd like for you to come and preach for us, and your family sing. And I said, we'd be glad to. We set a date and all this, that, and the other. But I'm telling you what, I remember the morning that I came here, much like some of you this morning. I drove up that road. I used to live out this valley, and been a long time. God had never pricked my heart one time for this building, this place. And when I pulled up into this driveway, I can't go into the long story because it's a long one. I'll give you the short version of it. But when I pulled into this driveway, I don't think my wife and I and daughter had spoken much on our way here. I don't know that I ever been so scared in my life. But when I pulled on this parking lot, God said, I got to work right here for you. And it was one of those moments where I go, did I just imagine that? And he spoke again, I've got to work for you here. And I came through the door and everybody was receptive, what little was here that morning. And there was a small crowd of people and I began to come on in and we sit down here and you got that like it was home. You know, I didn't feel like that in a lot of places, but I came in here and it kind of felt like, you know, you can look around, you can sort of imagine yourself here. And I thought, man, Tommy Shuler told me about this place. He said, you ought to go in that building and just go. He said, you smell God all over that place. If you ain't never smelled what God looks like, you ought to get along with him sometimes. He smells real good. So I came in here and went, And I began to follow the Lord and ask God what he wanted. And I was chained up. God allowed me to preach that morning. And on the way out, God told me on the way out, he said, this is where I'm going to send you. I knew it that day. They didn't know it, but I knew it. And I said, Lord, are you sure? I don't think I can go through that again. Lord, you don't know how hard and it's been in the valley that I've been through. My heart's been broken and the pain and the suffering that my family has been through. Lord, I can't do it again. I don't have it in me. God sent good men in my life to help encourage me and love on me and show me the way and help me. One of them sitting right back here on the back row right now. He helped me, encouraged me and helped me along the way. And you preachers ought to know what I'm talking about. You get in those valleys sometimes where Paul and Silas is at. And even coming here, I said, Lord, they're awful quiet. You know what he told me? We can work with that. No, I'm not just wild and crazy all the time. But I like to see people get excited for the Lord. It ain't how loud you holler and scream and run. It's how you walk with the Lord when you land. Amen. Amen. So as I was bound in chains and all the pain and the suffering that I had been through trying to follow the will of God, I know God sent me this message to tell you this morning. Just as he told you here in Revelation 21 verse 4, that he's going to wipe away the tears from your eyes. There's going to be a time of refreshing, a time of renewal. He's going to get these chains out of your life. You know what you're going to have to do? You're going to have to bring these chains that the devil has wrapped you in. And you know what you're going to have to do? You're going to have to get up off your seat of do nothing. Let me put that in good terms this morning. And you're going to have to bring yourself down to an old-fashioned altar. And you're going to have to be willing to ask God to do something in your life. And you're going to have to trust 1 Peter 5 and 7 when the Lord says, cast all your cares upon me because I care for you. And you're going to have to lay it on the altar and let God have his way. And I promise you, the chain breaker can break the chains that's in your life this morning. He can set you free and do something for you this morning. I'd ask him to run, but I won't embarrass him. But he wants to do that for you this morning. Paul and Silas began to sing at the midnight hour, and the Bible says that the jail and the foundation begin to shake. Now I'm talking about men that are bound in shackles, probably chained to a wall. And they begin to do what? They begin to worship. And when they begin to worship, all of a sudden things started happening. If his church would start worshiping and honoring God, things would start happening. Those chains that's in your life would get shook right off of your life. You'd get free and throw your hands up and say, for me and my house, we're going to praise the Lord and worship him. And we see this church go to a whole nother level. Deliverance will only come through worship. We see that here with Paul and Silas. No matter what they have been through all the lies, all the pain, and all the suffering, how bound down they are, they had to get to a place where they could worship. That's how you're going to get delivered from where you're at. Well, I'm just not feeling it. There's a sacrifice of praise. Just lift your hand up and say, Lord, I thank you. Lord, I thank you. Do that this morning. Lift your hand up. Everybody in here, just lift your hand up. See how good that feels? Just say, thank you, Lord, that I can raise my hand. God, I ain't much, but you're everything. Lord, I thank you. Lord, let me raise this other hand and say, Lord, I thank you. How good you are, Lord, to me. I'm nobody, God, and you bless me like you have. That's how we're going to get delivered this morning. That's how you're going to get victory this morning. It's through your worship. As every head is bowed and every eye closed.